machine who's bounding clear up the hill, and he is a machine. Fahid maintains his unbeaten record, and it's a treble for Willie Mullins and Remy Walsh. Fahid's a champion. Arctic Forest.
It was never in any doubt that it's going to be a magnificent hat-trick in the race for the Willie Mullins trade for Vega, and a treble on the day for Ruby. He didn't have to move a muscle.
Well, you're all very welcome to week number six, the joy of six of the countdown to Cheltenham with Ruby Walsh and Frank Hickey. Now, I'm Patrick Connelly. It's a very fond farewell to Tom Nugent for now. I'm going to take over for the next few weeks and hopefully I'll be able to do as good a job as he was doing. But last week, Tom and the lads were looking at the big two races of the festival, the Champion Hurdle and the Cheltenham Gold Cup. So I've come in for the big three races that are left for this particular week anyway. The Mayor's Hurdle, the Mayor's Novice, and the inaugural Mrs. Paddy Power Mayor's Chase. And for the next while, we're going to be getting the exclusive thoughts of the lads on those three races at the 2021 Cheltenham Festival. So I'm going to start with a certain Ruby Walsh, because Ruby, the Mayor's, you are associated with the good ones, as you know. But what is it that makes the very top mares in horse racing, both national and flat, so special? We think back, we've seen documentaries about Dawn Run, haven't we, in the last few weeks. We obviously, in the flat, you've got Winx, you've got Black Caviar, Enable as well, Annie Power, the list goes on. So is there something special about those really good mares?
They probably stand out to us more, Patrick, because there's not that many of them. They tend to book the trend rather than be the trend. I think most of the great racehorses you think of were colts or geldings. So when a good mare comes along, it probably sticks in your mind a bit quicker, a bit easier. I was lucky enough to ride a couple of very good mares, but would I say they were any better than the geldings? No, but they were most certainly equal to them. But just that when I think of all the great horses I rode, I only think of two or three mares where I could think of 8 or 10 geldings. So I think it's just because there's not as many, they tend to stick out more.
And one I didn't mention there was the mighty Quivega. 6 wins at the Cheltenham Festival. It really is incredible when you think about it. Will it ever happen again, Ruby?
I don't. I don't know. I think the fact that she won her last one when she was, was she 10 or 11? 10 maybe. I don't think so. I'd say it was, to be unbeaten 6 times is incredible. I don't think it would, to be telling you the God honest truth. And even if you look at horses, could you find a horse to win a novice or a novice chase and then 4 championship races? I don't know. Could it win the bumper at the a novice hurdle, a novice chase, and 3 championship races? I don't even think it could. I think it was an incredible piece of training. But she was fragile mare, and Willie set about winning one race with her every year, and or two, Punchestown and Cheltenham, and he just targeted that with her and got the most out of her.
I remember, obviously, every year we were all gunning as punters and fans for her to take on big bucks. Was it ever a consideration? You've already mentioned that she was fragile and there was one race to win with her, but was it ever, do you think, considered, you know what, we'll have a go at the stairs?
No, it wasn't. And a lot of people would say, oh, she should drop back to 2 miles. Well, the first year she won in Cheltenham, she went back to Punchestown and was beaten by Punjabi, who had won the Champion Hurdle. He beat her in Punchestown. Now, the following year, she went back to Punchestown with the run in Cheltenham under her belt and won the 3 mile hurdle, and she won 3 of those. But no, I don't think it was ever under consideration going to the Cheltenham Festival with her to take on big bucks. No, there's no way it was. I mean, that's looking at it from a racing fan's point of view. We want to see her taking on big bucks, but when you're the professionals inside the glass looking out, you're thinking, what race can we win? Why would we go and take on big bucks where we'd be second favourite, where we can run on Tuesday against the Mayors and have an even better chance? I think at the end of the day, these are business decisions, and business decisions, you have to make the best business. Yeah, I mean, why am I even explaining this? It's an obvious business decision.
I'm not sure. I know, we know what you're talking about. Yeah, but of course, you know, from the outside, we want to see the big clashes. Frank, moving to you, these three races, obviously there's a lot of talk about these additional Mayors races. I think yourself, Tom Ruby, covered this a few weeks ago when we were talking about it. But does it give the week a more complete look, or are we going down the dilution angle?
You'll get people both sides of the argument. Personally, like Ruby will tell you, like they're there to kind of develop the mayor's program, get more mayor's racing, etc. From a purely, sporting angle, I think they lose it. I'm not a fan, but that's just me.
Well, what about the obvious comparison to Royal Ascot, for example, where there are a load of races for fillies and mares when you go 2-year-old, 3-year-old and upwards? It doesn't seem to dilute Royal Ascot, or is it a comparison you can't quite make?
At this stage, I don't think you can make the same comparison, but like we're lucky this year that we're going to get Honeysuckle and Epitaph running in the Champion Hurdle. That's what you want to see. Like, wouldn't it be brilliant if Concertista was in there as well? You know, you'd have an absolute, like, it's going to be a brilliant race anyway, but it'd be absolutely cracking. I don't know. Like, I think I'm a fan of less is more, but that's just me.
Another thing, maybe those who've advocated the mayor's program will say, well, the fact we have Honeysuckle and Epitant and Concertista and all these good mayors running is am I getting towards something there?
No, it's not. Sorry, there's someone arrived at the door. it's deeper than that. It goes back to breeding. And if you think that half the horses born are going to be fillies, and it's to create races for them to make them competitive. Like, somebody didn't dream up the £7 mare's allowance because mares could compete. I mean, they get £7 because Honeysuckle, Epitant, Annie Power are the exception. They're not the norm. They're just exceptions. And there's a £7 allowance for mares to take on geldings for a good reason. And they need to have their own races because the majority of them are only capable of winning those races. And that's why you have mares races, because half the horses born are going to be mares anyway. And that's why you have it for such a long period of time on the flat, where you have the 1,000 guineas, the Oaks. You have mares races for fillies races for a reason on the flat for so long. And it needed to be balanced out over jumps.
Turned this into a very serious podcast already. I think I've fallen at the first hurdle. This is supposed to be a light and fun one, right? This is not this Paddy Power podcast, right? Let's talk about the mayor's hurdle. Let's start with the mayor's hurdle, and we'll start with you again, Ruby, because Willie's won it 9 times from 13 occasions. We know it should be 10. Right. I actually, before we came on this morning or this afternoon, had a look at the two falls. Sorry, Ruby, Annie Power and Benny Didier. God, they were very similar. And you must have thought after Benny DiGio came down, seriously, how the hell has this happened again? And they were very similar falls. I think Annie kind of landed a little bit on the hurdle whilst Benny seemed to get over, but just couldn't get the landing gear out.
I said, well, completely different falls, Patrick. That's how you got on the shoot. Annie Power stepped and landed in the hurdle, whereas Benny DiGio, I committed her to it. She picked up, only she didn't quite have the energy to get herself to the back of the hurdle. I think there were two different falls, but I don't know. Was I thinking about this tonight? I was thinking, imagine you could win a race 7 times. And all someone wants to talk about the twice you didn't win it.
Isn't amazing? Maybe I should have rewritten the script, eh?
Actually, and I'm going to correct myself. I won the race 8 times, not 7 times.
Yeah, because twice on, or 6 on Covega, and then...
Once on Vroom Vroom Mag, and once on Benny DiGio. But look, there was two that got away. I suppose, what did I ride in 11 times? 8 out of 11 isn't bad. Limini was third, that was Jade.
I think we won the race 9 out of 11. It was really Willie Mullins who's won this race, really. Like, he's the man we should be saying.
But yeah, exactly. Yeah, and he happened, even the year Annie Power fell, he happened to win it with Glenn's Melody. So,
steering jobs, they're all 4-7 or 4-9 because he didn't run them in the stairs.
They surely were.
Frank, moving to you. When you look at Willie's records, obviously, this race, and actually where it's situated in the festival, and on day one, it's the fourth or fifth race, isn't it, on day one? We've had the Supreme, we've had the Arc, we've had the Champion Hurdle. This can be a race that can really make or break how punters getting on day one, and possibly for the entire week.
I don't think for maybe, just that race on its own, like, I don't think it's that make or break, but I do think, because of the way it's been made up, from a betting point of view, most years, it does from multiple points of view. You know, so you've got generally, Willie's had something short in the Supreme. Recently, he's had something short in the Arkle. He's had a contender in the Champion Hurdle. And then he's got, an odds-on favourite in the Mayor's Hurdle. And you start getting, obviously, with Danny Powers, the famous example. But I mean, the multiples are a very, you know, real concern on how we're going to trade them on the day. And, you know, if you get to the stage where the odds on favour of the mayor's hurdle gets beaten, it just takes a little bit of pressure off us maybe from that multiple point of view, because you don't want, you know, Willie having four favourites going in on the first day and you're chasing your tail then for the rest of the week.
Jack, and we look at this year, right? You've appreciated in the first, then Shishkin in the second, then potentially Honeysuckle could be the third leg. I mean, I know they're not all Willie Mullins, but they're going to be three big favourites. If three of those go in, Concertisa could go forward.
Yeah, the only that kind of saving you a little bit in the first day is perhaps that the Arkin is developing into, well, I would say a match, but some people would argue, you know, a three-horse race. But like the Bergamine is pretty short as well. And, you know, you'll get a percentage of the multiples, including her and taking, you know, including him and taking away from Shishkin. You know, that is, it'd be different if Shishkin was 4-6 and it was 5 or 6-1 the field behind him. But at the same time, yeah, there is that concern. Like, you know, you could be looking at, you know, three shorties going in, running on to Concertista, which wouldn't be nice.
I was going to say make for a trading room, but you probably won't be there.
We won't be there, no. But
Patrick, Frank, would it matter that they're different yards, different outfits? Like, did those multiples people following an outfit make them even bigger volume?
Exactly. That makes it even bigger if it's like, you know, Willie and Ruby, you know, four short price fabs in the first day. Your recreational punter is going to all have a tenner on the four-time maraca. You know, that sort of thing. But at the same time, if you have short price favourites in the big races, even from different connections, it's still going to be something that'll take a bit of managing. Now, it won't be, you know, I wouldn't anticipate we're going to be in a situation like we had with Any Power that year. But, yeah, at the same time,
and the two mares are going to split it in the champion hurdle as well as Energamine. Shishkin's splitting it.
Yeah, Shishkin, Energamine. It's not going to be, I wouldn't think it'll be a disaster, but at the same time, you could anticipate a scenario where, you know, appreciate a Shishkin, Honeysuckle, Concertista for them winning would be a pretty nasty day.
Ah, dear. The sympathy will be flowing. I've no doubt about it. Now, how's the book looking at the moment, Frank? Because for a long part of the winter, Benny DiGio would have been making up a fair chunk of this market, I assume.
Yeah, well, again, the Antipost book, we've obviously two books. So the Antipost book takes us up to, you know, just the beginning of January, and then we have the non-runner money back book. And the Antipost book, our two significant losers are Maria's Rock, who won't be running, so we're keeping that, and then Concertista. Now, Concertista was put in a 10-1 when the market was created last March, and she's now 11-10. So that's not looking great for us there. But in the non-runner money back book, we've got three losers in the book. Concertista, again, Black Tears, and Dame de Compagnie. None of them are crazy liabilities, though. Because I think once we got to the non-runner money back stage, I think people had latched on to Concertista and she was into 30. You know, not a wild price by any means. I can't remember. I think it might have been 72 or something. So not too much damage done. But yeah, at the same time, we're looking at that race from an end point. Antipost point of view, and if Concertista wins, we'll lose on the race.
Okay.
We lose quite a bit.
No surprise there. Favourite wins, we lose. Ruby, let's go to Concertista, because after, as Frank said, they're 10-1 after winning at the festival last year. But even though she won at the festival last year, I think Paddy Power and Punter's probably like, ah, Willie will win it with something else next year, Benny, or something like that. But she's been pretty impressive so far this season.
She has been pretty impressive, but I think, and I suppose it's harping back to the argument at the start of the show, but I think when you look at what Concertista has achieved, I don't see how you'd fancy her in the champion hurdle. I don't think she's any form that could make you say, wow, she should be running the champion hurdle. I don't think it's there, to be honest with you. She's beaten mares. She didn't win a race till she won at the Mare Cheltenham Festival last year. And I don't see where the form is there. And I think even if you look at Honeysuckle, when she came out of Leopardstown after winning the Irish Champion Hurdle in 2020, having just beat Petit Mouchoir, you'd have been a brave man to say she'd win the Champion Hurdle. Whereas when you watch her leaving Leopardstown in 2021 on the demolition job she did in the Irish Champion Hurdle, you can see why they're going there. And I think you have to remember that the Champion Hurdle deserves respect. Good horses win Champion Hurdles, not decent ones. very good ones. And I don't think Concertista personally has achieved enough to say, you know what, she's a champion hurdle mare. I mean, she beat Manila Melody on her last two starts by 6.5 lengths and a length and 3/4. Where there's no horse in any of her form that says champion hurdlers. I think she's a good bet at 6-5 or a great chance in the mare's hurdle. But when I had Dan Skelton on the radio a few weeks back, and he kind of hinted that without Benny the Jew, Roxana might drop back to the mare's hurdle. And now with Dame de Campagna dropping back, dropping back after winning last year's Coral Cup, I think they're two solid enough mares, and I'd say she's fairly tight at 11-10 myself.
Fair enough. They mentioned, Frank, the champion hurdle. I know she is fighting for the champion hurdle, but as Ruby said, she's not going to go there. Can we get a guide into how the trading department see her in terms of how good she would be if she ran the champion?
Like Ruby's right, she'd have a bit to prove. I suppose it's just the style in which she won, particularly the last day. But yeah, I suppose the race is looking, when people were maybe calling for her to maybe go down that route, you know, Honeysuckle had bolted up at Leopardstown, and the race is an open field after Epitant getting beaten. Now the race looks like it's going to be red hot. You've Honeysuckle bolting up, Goshen bolting up last week, and all of a sudden it's looking like a cracking renewal when a month ago it was looking like it was wide open and potentially weak. Look, if she ran the champion hurdle, she'd be 12-1 shot, I'd say, on the day. So, like, you know,
she should be running. Throw the 12-1 shot in there to make it more competitive.
I'm not saying she should be running. I say, wouldn't it be great if, like, just adding more depth to the race? Like,
it would.
She won in Fairy House. It was 2 miles and 3.5, and Leopardstown was 2.5 miles. Does she have, like, her last one over 2 miles on the new course in Cheltenham over 2-1? Dropping back to 2 miles on the old course in Cheltenham, that could prove way too sharp for even. I mean, she beat Dolcita. Dolcita was miles behind in Warwick the other day, behind Molly's Ollie's Wishes. I can see why people are latching on to Concertista because she's Willie Mullins's. But to me, she hasn't beaten a Roxana or a Dame de Campagna yet.
Well, interesting you mentioned Roxana. Interesting you mentioned Dan Skelton, because there is the question as to where does she go. You mentioned Dan Skelton suggested they could go to...
I had him on Game On the radio one night, and he just suggested he was heading towards the World Hurdle at the time. And he just said, look, if the mare's hurdle was to change, we think she's a better mare at 3 miles. She is a fortunate winner of this race, and Benny DeJoux fell, or possibly fortunate winner of the race. But she has won it in the past. She was very good in her last start in Ascot. And Dan did say he wouldn't rule out dropping her back if the race cut up, and Benny DeJoux is now out of it. So, I mean, it's take on Time Hill, Paisley Park, Sire de Burley, and Flooring Porter in the Stayers Hurdle, or drop back a half mile and take on Concertista and Dan de Campagna. I mean, when you look at it logically, I know what I'd be doing.
Agree, Frank?
Yeah, totally. Like... Again, what is she for a Stayers Hurdle? I can't remember off the top of my head. Is she 8 or 10-1 anyway? She's 3-1 with us for a Mayor's Hurdle. So, yeah, like the one concern you'd have with her is she definitely has improved for 3 miles, but she has been travelling through the races very well. But, like, yeah. You just worry, like last year, was she at her best? She just didn't look to have the pace last year in the Mayor's Hurdle. But how good is this race? It's probably not even as good as last year, is it? It's definitely not. With no Honeysuckle, no Benny DeJoux. So, yeah, I'd drop her back if she was mine.
All right, Dan, hope you're listening. There's a penalty kick for you. The Mayor's Hurdle, if you drop those easy races that Dan Scotland's always been targeting, there's one at Cheltenham.
Sure, if he doesn't take her on, when he's going to get a freebie again, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's at Cheltenham. All you got to do is drop Roxana into the mares. A horse that was mentioned briefly is Dame de Compagnie, who has won at the Cheltenham Festival. Now, she would not have the most, I suppose, ideal prep unseating in the Scilly Isles Novice Chase with her last run, unless she obviously gets the run between now and the festival. Frank, you mentioned she's a bit of a loser first in the market, so how does she stack up for you?
Yeah, do you want to pronounce that again for you?
Dame de Compagnie. What did you went with Dame de Compagnie, didn't you? So I'm
I did French in 5th and 6th class and first year in school, and I butchered it, so I gave it up and did Spanish and German instead. So yeah, I'm not good.
Shame we don't get that many Spanish named horses, isn't it, Frank? You've got Noob Negra, that one. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. It's simple to pronounce. Yeah. Spanish is easy, like, just every, you know, stick out your tongue and have a lisp for everything. That's all you need to do. Yeah, look, she's Dame Company. Like, it's difficult. Like, you're looking at a horse like Constantisa winning, you know, great mares races, but then you have Dame de Compagnie, and you know, even the likes of Black Tears, who've been running really well in competitive handicaps at the festival, Indefatigable is another one. But like Dame de Compagnie, she won the Carl Cup last year. She's well backed. She won it impressively enough off a mark of 140. Now, that's not enough to be winning a mare's hurdle, but the way she won to me suggests she's definitely a 150 mare. Jumping, she jumped okay up in air. You know, she warmed to the task over fences, and obviously she went down the last day at Sandown. But she has the ability to figure, and she likes the track as well. She's had she's won a mayor's handicap hurdle last year, beating Indefatigable, won the Carl Cup. Like, her record over 2.5 miles is actually quite good as well. She's beaten an Oldsby Point Principal over just shy of 2.5 at Ascot, a novice hurdle. She won a Cheltenham Mayor's novice hurdle over 2.5. Won that Cheltenham Mayor's handicap hurdle over 2.5 off 132. She won the Carl Cup off 140. And her other start was the unseat in the City Isles. So the trip really suits her. She's good course form. There's a lot to like about her. The only small concern potentially would be that you'd want to see Nicky's horses maybe running a little bit better. They're a bit patchy at the moment, but you'd imagine come Cheltenham time, most of them will be flying. She's a definite player.
Yeah, okay. Very interesting runner. Dame. Damn, whatever you want to call her, potentially a damn good bet. Anyway, we'll see if she turns up for the mares. Ruby, we have to talk about the other William Mullen horses. A couple of them got mentioned there. We got Great White Shark, My Sister Sarah, Black Tears as well, Manella Melody. They all probably behind Constantisa on form this season, but we can get big price winners of this. Well, mainly the novice one. But anyway, any thoughts on those?
Yeah, look, they're decent enough mares. I think Great White Shark, obviously this is Zara, which winner was a good winner of a handicap in Galway, disappointed in the Red Mills hurdle in Goran Park on her last start, but that would have been far too testing for her, and she could run well at 20 to 1 each way, or thereabouts, sorry, I'm not sure of her exact price. My Sister Sarah, to just, I think Patrick, the more I look at this, they all have to improve. I could even win a Coral Cup off 140, those mares, they might. Wouldn't be sure they would. And Dame the Company, is that what we're going with?
I went with Dame.
Dame the Company, sorry, did do that, as Frank has explained to you. I would say Concertista, Roxana, Dame the Company are probably ahead of the others. And to get one into the tree, obviously the three of them more than likely won't all run the race. So to get another one in the tree, it's probably Great White Shark for me.
Frank, did you hear Ruby give Great White Shark a downgrade there? I think he called him Fair White Shark, or her, Fair White Shark. I'm going to have to listen back there, but I think when you started that, you called her Fair White Shark. She's done well. She's done well.
She has, to be fair to her.
The rest of the British runners, Frank, that we haven't mentioned, you briefly mentioned Indefatigable with Floressa, Verdana Blues. Is there anything there
Indefatigable, I think we can't ignore her. She's a very decent Cheltenham record. She was fifth in the Mayor's Novice Hurdle that Concertisa finished second in. She won a Mayor's Novice Hurdle over 2.5 miles. She was second to Dame the Company, or Dame the Compagnie, as you like to say, in that handicap off a mark of 137. And she won the Martin Pipe last year off 145, which takes a fair bit of winning. Now, you could say she potentially she's a small but fortunate with the Elliot horse falling at the last. The name has just gone for me there now. But at the same time, that race takes an awful lot of winning most years. And to win it off top weight, when you go back and actually watch the race, she's a terrible start. She's back at the back of the field early, and even like jumping three out, she's still third last. And I thought it was an incredible feat to win from where she won from. Her course record is good. She's rated 149 now. I kind of take her two runs this year with a pinch of salt. She didn't stay 3 miles of Kent against the mares, and then she ran in the grade two Rel Keel hurdle against the likes of Mad Fabulous and on the blind side. Look, she was disappointing there, but considering how well she goes at Cheltenham, and the fact she could win a Martin Pipe off top weight, I wouldn't put anyone off having a few quid each way on her. Whether she win, I'm not sure, but I think I could see her hitting the frame. For Dan Blue, look, she's disappointed this year over hurdles, but I don't think she's run anywhere near her rating either. She started the season rated 160. She's now down to a mark of 151. She had been shaping really well on the flat, though, this season. She finished second in the Ascot Stakes over 2 miles off a mark of 100, and then finished third in Ebro off a mark of 102. I just wonder, like, I'm no expert about training horses, but when you're training them to stay on the, you know, I'm not an expert in anything really, PK, but Ruby, no more than this, that if you're trying to train a horse to stay on the flat, it must surely blunt their speed, even going back over hurdles. Like, if you're trying to get her to stretch out to 1.6 and 2 miles in the flat, she's not really going to be suited by 2 miles over hurdles, is she, Ruby?
Well, I'd say, theoretically, Frank, for that kind of trip on the flat, you would have to stay a good bit further over jumps. But I don't think you train a 2 mile hurdler any differently to how you would train a 2 mile flat horse. I think they could be both trained pretty much the same way. And maybe that's why the likes of Nicky Henderson, Willie Mullins, Martin Pipe, Tony Martin, those people had so much success in staying flat races, is probably because that's the way they're trained. They're trained a bit more like jumpers. So there wouldn't be that much difference in the way they'd be trained. The difference might be that she didn't have a break this year for Down the Blue. She was on the go all summer, running those big flat races, and then back into a winter campaign. She's just a bit like everybody else. No holidays this year for anyone. We're all a bit stale. I think she's gone a bit that way.
Yeah. Like, the only thing about it is, like, she has the pure ability to get involved if the ground dried out a bit. You know, if you got good to soft ground on the first day, she's obviously, the fact she's staying 2 miles in the flat, like, earlier in her career, you say she'd have no chance of getting 2.5 miles around Cheltenham. But yeah, again, she has the pure ability, but she'd have a bit to prove. The other one I thought was interesting is Black Tears for Gordon. She's at 2 runs at Cheltenham. She was fourth in the Mayor's Novice Hurdle. Again, the one Concertista was second, that Egbert Hindesai won. She travelled really well that day. And last year in the Carl Cup, she's running off a mark of 144. And again, she travelled like an absolute dream. And she just got, I think, outstayed up the hill by Dan de Compagnie. She's run okay this year. Not great, a bit underwhelming. But I do think she kind of wants better ground. And you have to remember, too, that last year at the Dublin Racing Festival, she actually beat Concertista in that Mayor's Handicap Hurdle. Now, she was getting 2 pounds. She beat her just under 5 lengths. Again, she's another one at a big price, 25, 33 to 1, that I wouldn't be surprised if she ran into a place. But yeah, she's definitely one worth mentioning as well.
Right. I think we have mentioned the guts of 15 horses for the Mayor's Hurdle. It's now time to get the decision. Ruby, go to you first.
I think she's the most likely winner, PK, but not at the price she is. And I think I'm probably siding with, I don't know what I'm siding with. I think she'll win. I just don't think she's that sort of price. Maybe Great White Shark each way is a better bet.
Okay, so constantly to win, but the value not evident at the moment. Frank, thoughts?
If I was having the bet, I would be, I can't make up my mind between Black Tears and Indefatigable each way. I think one of them, potentially both of them, might hit the frame. And they're both.
Depending on how many, usually it's a big field, isn't there? You never know. We could be getting
we'll get more than 8, all right, I think. But yeah, I think at the moment, like, at the moment
you could get a good bit more than 8. I think when people look at this and start examining this race, and I wouldn't be surprised if you got well into double digits, more up 15, 16 runner race.
Oh, lovely. Okay. Might be even going 4 places at this stage. It was a nice little concession. So both of our gentlemen avoiding Concertista on a value perspective. Right, we have to move on. That is the Mayor's Hurdle sorted. Now on to the second Mayor's race of 2021. That is the Mayor's Novice Hurdle.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Ruby, 5 for 5 for Willie Mullins when this was introduced back in 2016. since then. However, not always the number one, or the supposed number one from the Willie Mullins team has won this. You've ridden a few of these winners. Let's talk about your winners, Ruby, and not about the ones that didn't go well. Limonie and Let's Dance, on both occasions, came from a fair bit back, I think it's fair to say, particularly Let's Dance. Is this a race that seems to, for whatever reason, where it is in the day, the course it's run on, that does favour horses who are off the pace?
Yeah, Eglantine de Soil came from a long way back to Chin Concertista. Where was I when Lorena won it? Was I laying in hospital or laying sitting in a bar? I can't remember. When she was up there all the way, wasn't she? Well, she was up front from a long way out anyway, Lorena, when she won it. And last year, Concertista probably wasn't that far back. So three of the five have come from well off the pace. Limonie and Let's Dance were both odds on, were they? Pretty close to it.
I remember Limonie, I think she went off very, very short.
Limonie was very short and won that way. Let's Dance was the last leg of a four-timer. So she was probably tightened up with the cumes, was she, Frank?
I think Limonie went off 8-11. Let's Dance went off 11-8. And Lorena was 4-7, was it?
Yeah.
I think it was three prices for
him. Yeah. So, yeah, look, and then I guess I rode my sister Sarah 1 year when Eglantine de Soy ran. She probably was the shortest price of Willie's because I rode her, but she could have been second or third favourite even. 50-1 shot won it. And was Concertista not favourite last year?
Manila Melody went off favourite and Colreevy was just shorter than Concertista
Willie's.
But Concertista had been, I think, 10 or 12 to 1 the night before and was very well backed on the day.
Yeah, look, it's 2 mile and 1 on the new course in Cheltenham. If they go quick, like Indefatigable coming from the next parish to win the Martin Pipe, if they go quick on the new course in Cheltenham, you can come from a long way back.
Okay. And Frank, this does have the look of, certainly of the three races we're going to talk about today, easily the most wide open. How's the betting looking at the moment?
Yeah, look, it's, I think are we 11 to 2 of the field or something, which will tell you, we don't really know what's going to win the race, but we are looking at our anti-post and non-runner money back books. Our anti-post book, we're in a good position because the biggest loser was Princess Zoe. Look, Tony Mullins had been bigging her up for this. And obviously she ran so well on the flat, winning a group one that, you know, they put the hurdles career on the back burner. And our other losers are Sky Ace, and She Wears It Well. She Wears It Well had an injury. I don't think she's going to make it, Ruby, is she?
Who's that?
She Wears It Well.
She Wears It Well. No, I don't think she'll make it. I thought you were asking about Sky Ace. I was thinking, we used to train her, but we sold her for 500 quid or 600 quid.
600 quid, yeah. Sky Ace, like, she's been backed as big as 50s and she's now into 16 to 1. She's won 4 of 8 starts for Shark, winning.
Is that Willie Mullins trying to get the money back? Who backed her?
He must be. He did a great job picking that, I know, to be fair to him. But, like, look, she's been kept fresh. She won a great 3 up and down Royal, and she won under a penalty at Punchestown when she beat 5 Severmore. You'd be a little bit disappointed if she were to win it, but at the same time, you have to respect she's improving and she's been put away and named the race. But then when you look at our non-runner money back book, Royal Cahal is the big loser here. Well tipped up. Looks a little bit disappointed the last day, but she was conceding weight and she'd be £9 better off at Roses Hollow. And the other loser is the Glancing Queen, who looks like she's going to be the most interesting British runner.
Okay, Ruby, let's start go through some of these Willie Mullins horses. Hook Up is one of the current favourites. Were there any excuses behind Royal Cahal at Ferrius?
I don't know. It was 2-2. Whether that was just too far for her. I thought she ran well behind Appreciated and Leopardstown. Came from a long way back, finished just behind Call Me Lord. They were third and fourth. Ballyadam was second, obviously Appreciated one. I think that's pretty strong form. I think watching the Mayor's Novice Hurdle in that was run the following day in Fairy House, I think if you ran it again, Rosie's Hollow, Royal Cahal and Gal was, I think you could get a totally different result. I don't think there's that much between those three mares, and the £9 swing would be huge for Royal Cahal. I was really impressed with her when she beat Hook Up. I was a bit surprised with her when she got beaten in Fairy House. Having said that, I just think Rosie's Hollow got the run of the race. I think position-wise, I think everything went perfectly for Mark Walsh. And I wouldn't be surprised with Royal Cahal to turn it around. She probably was a little far back that day in Fairy House, came home well, was always a length behind Royal Cahal and never got any closer. Didn't get any further behind her. just never got any closer. She'd be wondering, well, if we set off a length in front of her, is that where we would have finished too? So I think it's very open, and we don't have entries even yet. So you're slightly guessing as to what's going to be in it.
Ah, yeah, but sure, it's always good fun. It's always good fun. I mean, we've got prices, so we may as well guess. That's kind of the idea of this podcast.
Well, I'm looking down here. There's horses priced up that won't even be entered in the race. Gypsy okay. Island, Brandy Love, they won't be entered. Brandy Love is a bump in there. What else did I see here? I found something else a minute ago. Big Bad and Beautiful. Has she even run over hurdles yet?
There's a few priced up who haven't run over hurdles yet. There's a couple of French.
There's horses training everywhere. But you've gone about trainers not telling you horses are not running. You're pricing up horses that aren't even entered.
But what happens, Ruby, let me explain to you, is that people might have asked for Big Bad and Beautiful to be put into the market back in November. And we'll have put her into the market. And as you said, we'll take her out as soon as you realize she's not entered. So it's basically trying to satisfy customers' demand.
This is proper old-fashioned anti-post bet.
The thing is, it's non-runner money back now. So if you back Big Bad Newfoundland, she's not declared, you're going to get your money back anyway. So,
is she not taking a share of the price then on the other horses?
So what happened is, if you look in the majority of the cases, we will be under the price maybe of what's best price out there in most selections, because we're non-runner money back. The risk is taken out of it. So then it's up to customers to decide whether they want to take a risk and take a bigger price but run the risk of losing their money, or be cautious and take a lesser price but, you know they're either going to get a run for their money or get their money back.
Yeah, Gypsy Island being a great example of that. Obviously, we haven't seen her since that incredible bumper wins, wasn't it? But I think Frank Berry said it was either a week or two ago that there's no timeline as of yet, or maybe in the next couple of weeks we'll know whether she comes back. But if she were to win a hurdle in the next 10 days, and then, I mean, that price could be huge.
She looked a machine when she was, like, I go back to the day at Navan when she got beaten over hurdles, and at the time you're like, what was Mark Wells doing giving the horse that beat it so much rope? But the horse that beat it that day was Put the Kettle On. It was one of, a grade one at Arkell. So it was, a fairly decent effort, even allowing for
continually underrated horse, Put the Kettle On, isn't she? We've mentioned, Frank, that Royal Cahal has already beaten a couple of Willie Mullins mares. Ruby mentioned it, actually. What happened at Ferryhouse in the Sol Arena? She just didn't seem to be going at all.
Yeah, it was a little bit disappointing. The only thing I would say is the day she beat Hookup. Hookup did make a bit of a balls at the last hurdle, and she lost all her momentum. And I think that mistake, coupled with it being 2 miles 2, definitely cost her. I don't think there's too much between her and Royal Cahal. I thought Hookup ran an absolute cracker to Dublin Racing Festival. I think fourth in that grade one is every bit as strong as winning that grade two at Ferryhouse. I don't know, horses are like people, I don't perform to my best every day. When I played hurling, I most certainly didn't perform to the best of my ability every day. So, she might have been slightly below form, but at the same time, she's not disgraced. She was conceding 4 pounds to the winner. She's beaten, 2 lengths? She has every chance. She's joint favourite, and I think that reflects her chance. She's got a right chance in a wide-open race. I wouldn't be, negative on her at all.
Ruby mentioned that perhaps Rosie's Hollow had the run of the race when she was a nice winner. But I think she's very likely race, JP Silks. Jonathan Sweeney trains well at Portman.
John Sweeney, he trains, I think, down around Rathcormac. Very capable trainer as well. Just looking at his strike rate. Doesn't have too many runners, but the last 5 years, he's had 12 winners and 64 runners, 19% strike rate, which is very impressive for anyone. But so he knows what he's doing. He'd be a trainer as well you'd be wary of with first-time horses in the bumpers. They get smashed up fairly. Not that he had too many of them, but they do get smashed up in the market regularly. So he knows what he's doing. And this horse is really progressing. Won a bumper in Cork 2 years ago and was third in a hurdle state behind John Snow and Fakir at Leopardstown in March last year. That was a decent race as well. You had the likes of Ginny Lacey, Shanron, Whirling Dervish all behind. And, Fakir is among the favourites now for the Albert Bartlett, so it wasn't a bad effort at all. She did shape like she needs to run at Nathan. She was 4 behind Delfino and Castro Patera. And she's just improved for every run. She absolutely kicked Global Equity out of the way at Fairy House. Global Equity hasn't let the form down. She was touched off the Dublin Racing Festival in the Mayor's Handicap off 121, was second in the list of Mayor's Hurdle at Navan at the weekend. And she's improved again to win the Sol Arena Hurdle. The problem is she's going to have to carry a £5 penalty at Cheltenham. Like, we went back to Willie's horses that have won the race. The first three that won it all carried the £5 penalty, but the two since haven't. It'll just make it more difficult for her, I think, to win at Cheltenham now carrying that penalty. Will she be capable of giving £9 or, you know, having a £9 swing and holding the former Valcala? I don't think so. I don't think so. She's seven as well. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think she's capable of giving ways to a few of them. They're so closely matched, I think that'll swing it in the favour of the other horses.
Okay. Ruby, you gave us a nice rundown of what's not running. Could you give us a swing in what is running?
I'd imagine Hook Up Galois, they'll go anyway. Outside of that, then it probably depends on how they perform the next couple of weeks. I mean, it wouldn't look an ideal track for Echoes and Rain. She's quite keen front running filly, but maybe Willie will take her. He'd be on the short side, I suppose, with Finest Evermore. She'd probably want a bit further. And what other fillies have we? Glens of Antrim is still a maiden. I don't know if she will go. More than likely go for a maiden hurdle. Same could be said of Royal Illusion and Rula Bula. Probably hasn't got a high enough rating. So, you know, I don't think Willie will have the same number as he's had in other years. And it'd be interesting to see. Will Paul go for Hook Up or Galois? How are we pronouncing that one, PK?
Well, I don't smoke, but I believe these are French cigarettes, aren't they? Galois. I think it's French cigarettes. You'd see, you know, the gentleman in the French movie, and you know, he'd be smoking his Galois. Mon chéri.
So bad. Not Jesus, Tom Nugent never did that bit of acting for us, did he, Frank?
No.
You really mean, folks.
Hook Up, Royal Cahala. I'd be willing to give Royal Cahala another go. I thought she was very good when she beat Hook Up.
Okay. It's a tough race, and Willie Mullins has won it with some huge price horses. And I want to go back to something you said, I think, on a different Road to Cheltenham podcast. It might have been. There's other ones out there, I believe, but none of them are as good as this one. You yourself rode a winner or two of a horse who was just put on the truck because there was a space. Was Briar Hill maybe possibly one of those, I think, when he won the...
No, he was always gone. The public mightn't have thought it, but he was always gone. Joe Cullen definitely got thrown on at the end of the line, but Briar Hill was gone. But
this race could have seen maybe a couple of mares thrown on that perhaps because you just don't
know. Like, in fairness, Willie's trains most of his horses for this meeting, and he'll bring as many as he can and as many as he thinks can run well.
Which is a hell of a lot of horses. One more horse to talk about, or a couple more horses. We haven't really touched on the British Challenge, Frank, so I'm going to bring you back in. You've got the Clancing Queen. Now, she's a mare who's got a bit of form at the track. Farlan King, who's starting to hit a bit of form as well. And Riviere Detel as well. Could be interesting.
Riviere Detel, I'd be surprised if she runs here. She would get 4-year-old loans. I think she'll go to the Boodles myself. I think her mark's 134. She'll get another few pounds off the British handicapper, I assume. So, like, she, very impressive first day out. Was third, not beaten too far behind the Devil's Coachman at Navan in a rated novice hurdle. She's useful, but I'd be surprised if she ran here. The Glancing Queen, then, she's very interesting. Very useful in bumper. She was fifth in Envoy Allen's champion bumper. She's beaten seven lengths, but when you look at the horses that were in front of her, it was a cracking renewal. Blue Sari, Time Hill, and Abracadabra in front of her. She was seven lengths, fifth. And she went on to Aintree in the next start then and won the Grade 2 Mares bumper, beating Manila Melody. Obviously, Manila Melody ties in with the likes of Concertista this year. So she's very useful at bumper. She had nearly a full season off then and didn't reappear until the champion bumper last year, where she wasn't disgraced in eighth behind Fernie Hollow. Considering she'd been off for a year, that was a cracking effort again. And she's had four starts over hurdles and she's won two of them and been beaten twice. Look, when she was beaten twice, she was beaten in the Grade 1 shallow hurdle behind Brave Man's Game, beaten 10 lengths in third. And she was second at Exeter last week in a listed race behind Wild About Spirit, Dan Skelton's. At that Wild About Spirit got a bit of a freebie in front. I just have to get that in. Like, yeah, no one really challenged him at all. But the interesting thing about the Glancing Queen, she obviously has run really well in the Grade 1 bumper against the gelding. She's won a list of mares bumper at the track. She's actually undefeated in mare's only races. Her only defeats have been when she stepped into open company. And I just think 2 miles and a furlong on the new track will suit her. I think she's kind of a stayer, and I definitely wouldn't discount her. I think she's got a very good chance. The other English challenge, potentially, Pink Sheets, used to be owned by a colleague of mine in the race room. Finished second in an air bumper, I think, for him. Went to McShannon, bolted up in a Huntington bumper, then beating Pipe Smoker. Pipe Smoker, I think, is rated 137 out. I think she beat him by 12 lengths or something. She's switched to Mick Quinn, bit of a character. She's won her last four over hurdles. She's a tough front runner. She needs good ground. She's probably not good enough, but she is improving. And another one I give a small mention is Mrs. Hyde. She's 4 from 6 over hurdles. She beat her dad at Blue and Weatherby in October. She's off since she was third behind Pink Sheets at Newbury. She's on ratings have a squeak of maybe hitting the frame, but I think the best of the British is without doubt the Glancing Queen. And she is, while there's no standout Irish contender in the race, she's got every chance as well.
Okay. Money where your mouths are. Ruby, 6 in a row potentially for Willie Mullins. Which one's he going to win it with?
If I was riding, I think on form, I would pick Hookup. But I do have a preference for Ryle Cahal of Beta Fies.
Okay, so Frank, your thoughts? Who's going to win?
Yeah, I think it's very tricky. I think Hookup probably just slightly, but I can't. I find it tough to split her, and I think the Glancing Queen's got a right chance. Yeah. I'd probably just maybe, I don't think the Glancing Queen is sharpening up too much in the next few weeks. But like if you get 10 or 11 to 1 on, you know, the day before on the Glancing Queen, I'd probably take a chance on her and just boring Ruby.
No, you're not actually. I'm leaving it. My 5-year-old daughter came in the door, if the door opened, there was a gale blowing in here and I always yawn when I'm cold. So I'm sorry, Frank.
That's an adjective response. Yeah, I must use that one. It's when my girlfriend says, shut up, yawning. It's cold and there's a gale.
Still, your meetings that get boring and yawn.
Oh, I used to do it when I walked into the parade ring. And I was standing in the parade ring cold and I would yawn. And the owners would be looking at you thinking, this fucker going to fall asleep on the horse.
when we said put it to sleep, Ruby, we meant the horse, not to be fair. Okay, so that is the mare's novice. Now time for our thoughts on a brand new race. It is Mrs. Paddy Power Mare's Chase. Okay, Ruby, are you surprised that the Cheltenham and the Jockey Club and the BHA and everywhere else is involved have decided to bring in this particular race?
No, they've been muting it for quite a while now, PK, and I wasn't surprised it came in. And I think, like the mayor's hurdle when it started, the first renewal could be the weakest. And I think it'll get stronger from there on. White Oak won the first mayor's hurdle before Cui Viga got on a roll. But I think there's a couple of good mayors in here. But Nivelli May, obviously, Colreevy's only a novice. So you'd be kind of hoping you'll have her next year if you don't have her this year. Whether she'll run or not, I'm not sure. You've put the kettle on. Damn the company, it's gone back to the mayor's hurdle, but she could turn up in this next year. You'll have Annie Mack, Shattered Love, you know, Salsaretta, down as far as Magical Light. So I think there's enough of good mayors around to make it competitive, but I think it's a mayor that will strengthen over time.
Again, I come back to this debate over the dilution of the festival. Does this race mean that we're just not going to see mares in the Gold Cup now? I'm actually struggling to think of that many that have run.
And before you make the argument now, keep thinking and then try and think of one that would have won the Champion Chase and one that would have won the Ryanair. And when you've thought about all that, come back to us, because myself and Frank had this conversation already.
Okay. I didn't listen to every single one. Benny DeJeu, maybe, I guess, if she had, she was okay. Yeah, I mean, don't run the last winner of the Gold Cup, who's a mare, but I'm struggling to think of mares that even run in it.
Cheval, was that a mare? Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Cheval, she ran well in a Ryanair, didn't she?
She did, but
yeah, she was good enough to win anyway.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like there's been no mares winners of these. 1986, Don won the Gold Cup.
There's a question. Why do we see so many good, relative to chasers, so many good mares over hurdles, and they don't seem to do it over the large, or we don't seem to get them over the large obstacles?
I think if you get a grade one min and winning mare, PK, she becomes a very valuable asset to go to stud with. And then you stake the added risk then a runner over fences. I'd say it comes down to simple as that. There's a very good mare's novice chase program here in Ireland. And I know I rode a couple of very good mares as novices over fences. Like Benny DeJew was won a good few mares novice chaser, but she went back over hurdles then because there wasn't the mares chases for her, the open mares chases for her to win. So she went back into mares company over hurdles. But I think this race will strengthen over time. I'm not saying it's going to be the strongest race ever ran at the Shetland Festival this year. It won't be because the numbers aren't there. But it needs time to develop, and it will. And it will become a very competitive race.
Carrot and stick mentality. Frank, Benny DeJew, again, she possibly might have taken up a lot of the market because there was talk of her running in this. She's now gone. So how does the market look at the moment for Paddy?
Again, in our two books, the Antipost book is looking brilliant, really. Benny DeJew, Dame de Compagnie, and Colreevy are three big losers. The first two aren't obviously going to run, and Colreevy is looking unlikely to run. But they seem to be indicating that she'll go to Limerick for that novice graded race instead. So we're looking in okay shape in that book. The non-runner money back book, a different story. Ellie May, big loser there. She was backed as big as 10-1. She's obviously down to 2-1. And the other significant loser for us there is Shattered Love. Obviously, I wouldn't think we've too much to worry from a win point of view there. But Ellie May, yeah, would be overly happy with people taking the big 10-1 and sitting on a 2-1 shot now.
Yeah, she looked pretty good. Perhaps better in defeat against Alaho than last time out. Ruby, how do you rate her chances?
Yeah, but her run against Alaho was her first in quite a while. She hadn't run since she was second to Build Me Up Buttercup over hurdles back at Punchestown in November. That was the end of January when she ran against Alaho. I'd say she improved a bit for that run. And she looked a little bit outpaced early on in Ace, but the further that race went, the stronger Ellie May was looking. Now, she's tiny, to be honest with you. She's quite small, and she's a real character, but she's brave as a lion. I think she loved the trip. She liked the track. And I put her up a while back on the road to Cheltenham, and I do fancy her.
Colreevy, will she go? You said she's a novice and this will be open company, and the Willie Mullins not really in that.
No, I mean, there's a race in Limerick the day before Cheltenham of 60,000 pound, 2.5 mile mares novice chase grade two. Where Colreevy would have to face the same horse as she's been facing this year. And look, plenty of Willie's good mares have gone there instead of going to Cheltenham. Vroom Vroom Mag being one of them. And I think that is where Colreevy could go. I'm not saying it's for definite. Her owners haven't made that decision yet, but they did indicate after she won the last day that that's where they would like to go.
Hey, it is a business. Willie Mullins Inc. does not pass over 60 grand freebies that often. So we'll see how Colreevy goes if she does go for that grade three mares novice. Frank, put the kettle on would put a cat amongst many pigeons, were she? Wouldn't she?
She'd be a huge player if she run. Like, she's 6 from 8 over fences. She's 3 from 3 at Cheltenham. Like, she's won against the Geldings in the Ark of the Shore Chase. Look, she wasn't capable of beating Shackle for Swat Leopardstown, but, like, you know, he's what nearly odds on for a champion chase. So there was no disgrace in that effort. She stays 2.5 miles. She's won over the trip. Like, if she, again, if you're looking at it, if I owned her, I'd definitely go for this race. I just think I can't see, even allowing for excellent Cheltenham form, I can't see how she beats Shackle for Swat unless he underperformed on the day in the champion chase or didn't turn up, obviously. And this just looks, like Ellie May deserves to be favoured at the moment. But I think if Put the Kettle On ended up running here, I wouldn't be certain Ellie May would go off favourite.
Neither would I.
Okay, very interesting. Shattered Love, she's got a bit of course form.
She needs testing ground, though, these days, doesn't she? I think her best form is coming in heavy. I know she won what's now the Marsh, was the JLT at the time, beating Terra 4 back in, I think it was 2018. I just think she needs to come up heavy to have a chance of winning. She could hit the frame all right, but that would be my opinion of her. I don't know what Ruby thinks.
I will be thinking along the same lines, Frank. She beat Cabaret Queen and Clonmel on testing ground back in November, but I don't see how she turns the form with Ellie Mae from Naas last week.
Going to ask you about a few other horses from the Willie Mullins yard. Ruby, it seems like you're pretty keen on Ellie Mae, though. Salsaretta, due to run Goran, La Sorolita, and you just mentioned Cabaret Queen. Are they potential runners?
Cabaret Queen could. La Sorolita, I doubt it. When did she run last? No, I think she could even be in foal. She could be gone to stud.
Probably won't run then. Although, you know, depends how far into foal she is.
No, I think she was in. She could have been in foal when she was running last year. I'd say she's nearly due to have a foal. Salsaretta was supposed to run Saturday, might run Friday now instead, obviously. El Feel, I doubt, would make it. Hasn't even run over fences yet. What else did you say, PK?
That's it, Cabaret Queen, Salsaretta, and La Sorolita. So,
yeah, and Robin De Carlos on the comeback road. She hasn't ran since she beat Put the Kettle On at Tipperary back in October 19. I don't know if she'll be ready or not for Cheltenham. But and it'd be some training performance to get her back, and she's not a brilliant jumper by any manner of means either. But she's a good filly, to be fair to her. No, Salsaretta would be the only other one that might join Cabaret Queen, Colreavy, and Ellie Mae. But she'd have to improve a bit on what she's done this year.
You mentioned Ellie Mae, a bit of a character. Care to elaborate?
Ah, she is. Even you can watch her. We're in Naas the last day before the fifth fence, I think it was. She gets a bit of kickback in her face and you can see her shaking her head. Then she pricks her ears and jumps the fence. She just, she is a bit of a character, is what she is. But look, she's a very good filly, and yeah, I wouldn't put anybody off backing her now. Okay. Pity I missed the 10-1.
Pity. She's clearly the one for you. Frank, before we get your selection, just a quick chat on, again, some of the British runners. Annie Mack, she the best for Jonjo O'Neill of the Brits?
I think she is. She's very useful. She's got a rating of 149. She's 5 from 8 over fences. Small worry would be that her 2 starts at Cheltenham were a little bit disappointing. Now, it was against the Gelding. She was 9th in the Marsh Chase last year. She was 5th in the Caspian Caviar this year off 142. The one thing I would say, she's 5 out of 5 in Mayor's Only Company again. She probably wants softish ground, ideally. She's probably the most solid with the English. I would give a mention though to Happy Diva. She's 10, but she loves Cheltenham. She was 2nd last year in the plate behind Simply the Bets. That was off 149. So you could say that she's capable at her best of running to 153, 154. Now, she probably hasn't been at her best this year. She only had 1 start at Cheltenham when she fell in the Paddy Power 2 out, and she was still in contention. That was off mark 151. Yeah, like, you could definitely make a case for her hitting the frame at a price, considering her course record. But they would be the only two British runners that have any sort of a chance, I think.
Okay. Frank, Ruby is clearly keen on Ellie Mae. Are you going to put us off Ellie Mae? Have you got anything different for us? Who's your pick?
It depends on what happens. Put the kettle on. Looking at 11-2, put the kettle on, non-runner money back. She won't be 11-2 if she runs.
There you go. That's as good as a selection. Right, before we wrap up, 3 questions I've got from the adoring public. 2 for Ruby, 1 for Frank. Roy Curtis asks Ruby, Quivega was so dominant at the festival, Ruby, for so long, and of course 4 stayers at Punchestown. Why does she never have a crack at the French champion hurdle? And did Willie ever consider trying to buy Grivette, who beat Quivega and Hurricane Fly in the 2008 Prix Alain Dubreuil?
Oh, I was suspended, and Grivette tore off into a huge lead, and Willie's horses just failed to get him back. I think Davy Condon rode Hurricane Fly, and maybe David Casey rode Quivega, but I know Grouette ended up a long, long way in front on that occasion. And the first part of the question was
the French champion question.
She was too fragile. He would have her ready to, he would have Quivega almost ready to run by Christmas. And then we just keep ticking her along and ticking her along and ticking her along. And she'd run at Cheltenham and she'd run at in Punchestown. Then she'd go out. But she would come back into training the same time as all the other horses. Only he would train her much, do everything much slower with her. He only to get her fit. She had an almost career-ending injury that time in France. And he did a great, great job to get her back.
Sure did. One for you, Frank. Joseph Wallace asks, you've covered all the novice hurdles now, Frank. What is the one horse you're most looking forward to in these races of all the novices?
That's one at a price in the Ballymore. Bear Gills. for Nicky Martin. This horse's form is just getting franked left, right and centre. Go back to its bumper win at Warwick last March, won by 19 lengths, second Garage of Dreams, big eye catch in the Betfair Hurdle at the weekend, finishing sixth off America, 135. He's beaten that 19 lengths, hammered it. On his hurdles debut at Lingfield, again, he won by just under 5 lengths, nearly took the last hurdle home with him, still destroyed them. The second Baby Believer has been touched off in a graded race at the week last week. Red Rookie won at Sandown. Longshanks was sixth that day. He won it at a price, I think, at Wincanton. Capitol won a handicap at Fakenham. Everything in behind him is winning. And then even look at his second start over hurdles at Fosslastamy, won under a penalty. People were kind of a little bit disappointed with how he won because he was three on and he only won by a length and a half despite carrying a penalty. But the horse he beat, Gowell Road, has come out and won a handicap at Newbury very easily and then went to Newbury and won under a penalty, beating a nice horse at Paul Nicholls called Good Ball, and it's going to be rated much higher than the 131 in the handicap reassessors. He's bolted up in his handicap debut off 130. Some people are knocking, saying he has no greatest form, but how could they let that handicap mark kind of just go 130? He was entered in the Grade 2 try on trial stage at Cheltenham, but with the race being abandoned, they've decided to go straight to Cheltenham. Look, he has a rating of 140. They might go for a handicap with him. But yeah, I'm really excited to see him. If he brushes up his jumping, he's an unbelievable engine.
Okay. This is a podcast. You can't see the excitement on Frank's face, but I can tell you Bear Hills is getting him jiggy. I think it's fair to say. One more for you, Ruby. Des Gibson asks, if you could come back to ride one horse at this year's Cheltenham Festival, who would it be and why?
Album photo in the Gold Cup. If he wins the Gold Cup, it'll be, if he wins the Gold Cup, that'll be his third Gold Cup. That would be history.
It would be history. Simple as that. Brilliant. Don't forget, folks, as it is Cheltenham preview season, we've got a few enhances for you on the Paddy Power website. We will be enhancing. Frank, would you like to tell?
Yeah, we're going to enhance Concertista 11 to 10 out to 11 to 8 and Ellie May 2 to 1 out to 5 to 2. We're also going to enhance a double. Concertista and Ellie May both to win 5 to 1 out of 6 to 1, and we're going to do a special as well of Winnie Mullins to win the Mayor's Hurdle, the Mayor's Novice Hurdle, and the Mrs. Paddy Power Mayor's Chase was 72 out to 92.
Winnie Mullins to win all the Mayor's races generally happens at the Cheltenham Festival, as you heard from the stats earlier on. That is it, folks. We hope you enjoyed our sixth countdown to Cheltenham show. Just over 3 weeks, would you believe, until it all kicks off. Remember, we'll be back for the next 3 weeks looking at more races with Ruby and Frank. Next week, all about the amateurs, if they're allowed to take part in the National Hunt Chase, and of course the Champion Bumper as well. And if you have any questions for the lads or want to know what they think of your bets, fire them to us by tweeting at Paddy Power. Like Roy, Joseph and Des did this week, we'd love to hear your thoughts and get you involved in the show. Until next week, stay lucky. Remember, Paddy Power are non-runner, money back on all races at the 2021 Cheltenham Festival. Please do subscribe to the show. We'll be back on Friday with the tipping show to look at the jumping action at Kempton, the all-weather action at Lingfield Winter Derby. We've got the Eider Chase at Newcastle, big races at Ferry House, and the Paddy Power sponsored card at Nace on Sunday. Go well, folks.